Now, I want you to meet a couple of fabulous young Australian performers. Their company is called One Fell Swoop. Strikes me that's a slightly ominous name. One Fell Swoop. Last Friday night, I had the enormous pleasure of watching their dress rehearsal for their very intimate new show called Sensory Decadence. It starts with some very polite bark. Charisse Rust and Jonathan Morgan, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Very polite bark.
Very polite for the start bit, and yes. Then it kind of goes somewhere else.
Yeah, so you've set up a big table on the stage that can swing from ropes that hang from the ceiling, and on the table is what?
It's a very lavish setup, so a beautiful long draped runner and candlesticks and all sorts of exquisite like kitchenware for a very lush meal. Yeah.
And then the music starts to do this. So it's all going weird.
Everything kind of goes into a slightly strange world.
Slightly strange. No more bark. No more polite Brandenburg concerto. We're in some weird electronic space. So at that moment, one of you rips this tablecloth off and all the golden finery clatters to the ground.
That's right. In this, and the performers on stage are kind of animated in this slow motion pantomime of the usual dining experience.
You can feel them moving slowly to this, can't you? This music by Duane Morrison, moving around the space. So there's some sort of premise about decadence, or smashing decadence, I guess. Can you put this into words, you two, Jonathan? What are we saying about decadence?
I think we're trying to, I guess, imagine an idea of decadence that's less about how much you've spent on the meal and more about what's actually in front of you and what you're experiencing. Whether it's the kind of taste of something really simple like honey on bread, or if it's just getting to watch a tablecloth get pulled off a table really slowly and you get to actually see each fork and candlestick fall off one at a time.
So decadence is not a bad thing. You're looking for another kind of decadence,
that's right.
The decadence of honey.
Another idea of decadence, or redefining richness, because at the moment, you know, richness in our world is tied to this material wealth and kind of financial value. But we're really looking to redefine it, richness as the richness of an experience, of a single moment, of a single sensation.
So sensual indulgence is good.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I think as circus artists, that's what we pursue, you know, in our training and in our practice.
Yes, I suppose that's right. Decadence. Yes, I suppose it is. I mean, circus is traditionally a sort of transgressive space, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
I mean, we always say that, transgressive space. It sounds so arty to say that. But it's a place where we go, where people break rules and hit each other on the head with hammers. And
also kind of challenge the things that we think humans are capable of, whether that's physical feats or gender roles in circus has always been challenged.
When you say challenge what we think we're capable of, it doesn't change my mind about what I'm capable of, Jonathan. When I watch you up there twirling with, what's the other bloke's name?
Ryan.
Ryan, you and Ryan are up there twirling on a rope. I don't think, I should give that a try. No. Now, you two are the founders and directors of this group. You're both graduates of NICA,
That's
which is
right.
The National Institute of Circus Arts in Melbourne. Why circus? What attracted you to circus?
So for me, it actually started on my grandparents' sheep farm, if you can believe that. I loved working and just seeing how far I could push myself and my body doing the physical labour of working
on a
farm.
Watching the sheepdog running across the top of the
sheep. But also, you know, heaving ewes up onto the back of the ute and trying to get a mob in by myself so that the next mob was in the shearing shed in time for that run. And I also loved, because it's, you know, quite a blokey kind of atmosphere, I loved defying expectations of what female bodies could do in that farm.
Well, there's a long tradition of that in the frontier Australia. You know, the squatter's daughter who rides out purposefully on her horse and rounds up the sheep.
That's right. And so then when I found circus, it wasn't strange to be a strong girl. It was encouraged, and it opened more doors, more challenges that I could put my body through, and it was incredibly empowering. So, yeah, I credit my entry to circus through working on the sheep farm.
When you talk about rounding up sheep, I always think of my Uncle Jack. And all I can hear him saying is, get behind! Get behind!
Oh, yeah.
Get back! Oh, you stupid dog! Get back! Get back!
Yeah.
So was there an ethos at NICA? Does Nika kind of have a philosophy about what circus is that's redefining it for a new generation, would you say?
I think Nika, I mean, one of the things that has made circus so interesting and it's given it this revival over the last 40 years is the way it's quite hard to define, and it's so accepting of, you know, whatever sort of circus you want to do is totally fine in the circus world. If you want to be the person who sits in the corner and juggles all day, that's totally fine. And that's celebrated. So that kind of unusualness is part of the form.
Yes. I suppose, you know, it's not all right for the audience, though, is it? I mean, someone who sits all day in the corner and juggles is fine if you're exploring your inner circus self or wanting to discover your inner crown, if it's therapy or personal growth. But once you say that it's entertainment and you charge admission, you need to think about what you're giving the audience, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. And I think part of the difficulty with circus is that we're doing such unusual things that are so far from the everyday that it can be really easy as an audience member to watch it and think, that's spectacular, but not get any further than that because it's so far outside of your normal experiences. So you don't connect with it on an emotional level because it's just a bit strange and the person performing isn't doing something that you can imagine yourself doing. So
I'm going to challenge you on that in a minute. Let's hear Embrace, which is track number two, because this is a lovely. This introduces some work that you do, Jonathan, on a rope with Ryan Darwin, who's got the most. He strips down to his undies basically, and he's got the most astonishing physique, as you do too. But you leave your shirt on rather modestly. But the two of you are doing the most amazing work. Let's just set this up with the sound of Embrace. Yeah, we're excited. Bit circusy, bit modern, bit now. So there's a big, beautiful, silky sort of strong rope hanging from the ceiling. And what sort of things happen, Jonathan?
So we're swapping on and off one after the other, kind of climbing up and then coming straight back down to the floor, and then the other performer will kind of follow straight up. And we're not really interacting with each other, but the rope is connecting kind of how we're moving.
He has a go, you have a go.
Essentially, yeah.
It's not competitive, but you both look marvellous and strong, and we sit there thinking, wow, these guys are so strong and powerful, and not afraid to demonstrate male power, which I found exciting.
Yeah, and what I think for both of us, what we love about doing rope is the kind of the freedom and the flight of it, and you can... I always call it throwing myself around on the rope, and that's what we're trying to share with the audience, is that the pleasure of, I guess, releasing and being... Because when you're doing acrobatics at 5 metres in the air, you kind of have to be fully in the moment or you'll fall down. So it's quite a pleasurable thing to force yourself into that state.
There's a kind of purity to it, Charisse. I mean, when I watched these two men, I was looking for a narrative and I wasn't getting one. I wanted to know whether they were competitors or lovers or allies as they urged each other on. There wasn't a story, though. There was a kind of, almost a kind of pure distance.
Definitely. And that's something that's very much at the heart of this show, whether or not you can just sit in the moment and experience what's in front of you. It's part of our nature that we always look for narrative and look for a relationship. But the beautiful thing about this act is just these two beautiful men that have power but also softness. You know, it's not just blokes on a rope being tough, you know? It's
blokes
strength.
On a rope, it's not a bad name for an act, though.
It's that, yes, they've got power and skill, but they've also got... tenderness and softness and these beautiful lines. And that's definitely my favourite part. It's a different type of masculinity on stage.
Yeah, it's extremely beautiful. Let's hear some of the track called Gongi Bread Face, just because it's lovely. I mean, I want to come back to this idea of calling the show Sensory Decadence, because I was a bit bewildered by it, really. I thought the show was almost ascetic in its rejection of all forms of indulgence or sexuality or excess. I guess I was hoping for lots of decadence, but I found myself in a place of almost mystical purity. Do you take that as a criticism, or do you say, no, that's what we wanted?
I think that's a bit of a feature of our work, is that it's very, very simple, what we usually put on stage.
This music has a kind of meditative,
yeah.
You know, purity to it, doesn't it? It's like meditation music. It's not just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da circus music. Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah, so because it's so simple and kind of what you were talking about before, where you're kind of your brain is really searching for a narrative or looking for those that complexity that you're used to. So I think by only putting, I guess, the bare minimum on stage, it helps break out of that a little bit, and you can just... So it's a decadence of that simplicity in a way. So at this moment, Ryan, who's this wonderful hand balancer and quite brilliant mover, is on the table on the floor, surrounded by probably more bread than you've seen in one place at a time. And
well, there's about the same amount of bread as there is in aisle three.
Yeah.
No, that's true. Okay. Which is where we get our bread from.
Yep. Go on.
And so he's just engaging with the... I guess the things that you might not think to do with bread, but that bread is actually well suited for, which is kind of squishing it in your hand and just shredding it for the joy of shredding it.
Well, also in all sorts of handstand shapes.
Yes, let's say, I don't want to give anything away. Yes, I will give something away. He makes a little pile of bread, like, you know, white bread, you know, good on your mum, that kind of bread, and stands on it on his head, just his head. Just head. He's waggling his arms and legs. I mean, think about what I've just said, listener. He's on his head, on bread. It rhymes. Bloke on a rope.
That's good, yeah.
I don't think you're exploiting the rhyming potential of your material.
I
think we've opened up a
whole...
No, you can do it yourself. You're marvellous, talented people. Now, I want to come back to what you said, Jonathan. I want to nail you to the wall about this. If you say the audience is not getting it, I don't think you can make that move. I reckon if the audience isn't getting it... We need to reach out to the audience. I reckon as artists, we too often say, oh, we've got to educate our audience. Maybe there's a bridge that you need to build if you're feeling that.
I think we've... we're not trying to, I guess, put something in front of the audience that they won't understand. It's about trying to deal with what the audience are bringing into the theatre with them, which with circus is often a very strong idea of what circus is, with the kind of lions and tigers and...
Very classical, yeah.
Whereas contemporary circus at the moment shares a lot with contemporary dance in terms of...
It does, yes.
..the sort of themes it's exploring. And part of the reason we use simplicity so often is because it helps break down those preconceptions that people come in with. So everyone can already really enjoy... just the pure physicality that is on stage.
But you see, I think your interest in what contemporary circus can do comes out of sort of academic training. I think the audience will just take where you take circus. You don't need to interrogate circus in front of an audience. You can just do things that make people go, wow, I didn't know that was possible. Because in the end, we find ourselves reflecting about the lovely relationships among you without being cerebral about it. Do you see what I mean?
Definitely. And something that we find very important in our practice is this idea that circus has, like, circus skill and apparatus has within it already kind of extreme examples of what it's like to go through everyday life. Like, those metaphor are already in there a lot, and that we really work to draw that out in as a kinesthetic and visceral way as possible. And that's especially what we're looking to do in this show. So you don't need to stand and balance on a wire to have a moment in that you can relate to your life when it really felt like you could, you know, you're on this, walking this small line and you're about to fall off anyway. And so it's those metaphor that are present that we really try and build on and pull out.
And I guess we're not looking for the audience to come out going like, oh, it was great, I had a really nice kinesthetic awareness of...
No, that's important. That's my point.
That's right,
Let's get rid of kinesthetic awareness.
Yeah.
You know, that's the language I want to get... We have to stop. You were marvellous. Thank you for letting me in your rehearsal. It's such a generous thing to do. And it's been so... joyous to meet you, and I hope it goes far. I know you've lost some OZCO funding, haven't you? Is that right?
No, we haven't had organisational funding. We didn't get funding for this project.
Oh, right. Okay. So you're all right, though?
as much as an independent artist, you'll struggle on.
All right. Well, congratulations on the show. Charisse Rust and Jonathan Morgan have been reeling with the punches here. They're the co-directors of the circus company One Fell Swoop. Look up your Macbeth to see why I think that's a scary name. And also directors of their new show, Sensory Decadence. It was thrilling to me. There are lots of potential in this one. It's being performed at Gasworks Art Park in Melbourne until the 23rd of August.